That upon whose basis that they're enjoying the blessings of the Lord, the little that I know is going to have to come up here and testify that it's always a pleasure to me to speak to God's people at any time, because I feel that they say in the Bible, I'm one of them. And to be associated here with such a lovely group, through the week I have certainly enjoyed the ministry of these wonderful testimonies of the brethren who have gave us the great testimonies of their healing and of their businessman who has told us of their, how their business prospered. And Brother Gardner, last evening, I appreciated his testimony and talk. And so many things have happened, and I have come to get full. As I said, William Booth Tibbern one time said that down in London, England, that they was, he was walking around with the police one night because he missed his car, couldn't go home, his streetcar, too late. And it was raining, and so he found a man that was over intoxicated laying in the street, so they just picked him up and threw him in the paddy wagon, take him over, and throw him to jail. Mr. Tibbern said, well, down the balance of the Salvation Army, and said, well, we would take him in, pick him up, give him a hot bath, and get him some coffee and stuff. But you still let him lay down on the floor? He said, yeah, I won't hurt him. So, why do you mean it won't hurt him? Somebody said, well, it's drink. But it's the whiskey, so much drink. The guy was poor, just filled up. The cold and stuff can't get in. I think that's where I'm meeting one of you. So, filled up with the Holy Spirit, the world of the devil don't even understand. This thing just keeps coming off. We've done so to hold up my hand, can't you? One of the outstanding things that struck me greatly among the testimonies, which have all been very great, but one of the things was the testimony of the Brother Plowman, Brother Crowd, how the Lord dealt with Brother Crown. How many heard his testimony? Dr. Hammond and I were talking about it a little later. And now, see, Brother Crowd, being a very fine Christian, he had tried hard, his good friend, our friend, to Brother Earl Roberts had prayed for him, and he didn't seem to get any different. Then he thought, oh, Brother Branham prayed for me, I've been all right. So, well, I prayed for him, no difference. I stood by him for 45 minutes, almost one day in his lovely life, to see if the Lord would speak in a vision to say something to him. But nothing happened, and then finally at the hospital, when the doctors had operated and giving no hope, or not much hope of ever seeing come through again, then when he was at the end of his road, then Father's grace stepped in. And the glory of the Lord came down on him in the room, and he was just bathed in God's beauty. And when love has been projected, then it's time for the Father's grace to step in. It'll do it every time. You know, it's a strange thing that how we human beings like to do things ourselves. But we are children of God, and many times we have to just take a seat and sit around until God comes around and does it His way. And notice a little child. I was just sitting back there a few moments ago talking to a very fine medical doctor from Chicago who I had the privilege of having breakfast with this morning. And we were speaking, and perhaps you know this, I'm sure you do. Many times you have a little child, and he gets on a little dipper tantrum, we call it, in our home. Oh, he's just kicking, squealing, and going on, and he'll tear up everything, and he'll hold his breath. And usually a brother will come and shake him, throw him up in the air, and try to get his breath. I don't think there's a case in history where one of them ever died. He just has to run to the end of his road, and then nature takes over. That's where we're less Christian sometimes. We just have to run to the end of the road and let grace take over. We have to run all that theology out so God can really get to work. You believe that? And God does work in mysterious ways His wonders to perform. Now, notice this, that each one of us are sons and daughters of God. Many times I have thought of Pentecost. Those said they were all in one place and one accord. Now, where there's unity, well, there's power. And then, if we only knew that each one of us, in an amateur way, is a creator, we're sure that you understand that. You see, the little success that the Lord has given me, as I'm testifying this morning, success is because of this one thing, that the patience that I'm praying for in the quick line, I have to enter into the fellowship of suffering with them. And that's the reason that I didn't have a prayer room where you just run through like a bunch of sheep coming to a yard. You've got to feel the need of that individual standing before you. If you don't, you can't have the feeling of it. Like Paul Rayner once said, that he was going to work one morning, so he, in his life, had a little, well, a disagreement. And he said, as he started out, he kissed his wife goodbye. She was crying, but he always walked out there to get turned back and said, bye. She said goodbye. So that morning, when the same routine passed by, he said goodbye. She said goodbye. So he went out of the street and began to think, what if something happened to me today? Or something happened to her that I know we'll never meet again in this earth? He got to thinking about it and said, God began to deal with him. He ran back to the house real quick, just opened the door, just standing behind the door, still weeping. Then he never said one word to her, but just pulled her around and kissed her again. Turned right back down and went out. Went to the gate, came back and said goodbye. Then she said goodbye. Right to there, they said the difference was the last time there was a feeling in his name. That's the way it is. There's got to be a feeling. There's got to be something that's projected from you to meet the person you're talking to. You meet the girl down in Mexico. We were talking down there, and on the platform there was an old man came to the platform who was blind. I looked down his old wrinkled feet, and they were probably never had a pair of shoes. Just all over the floor of them. And he wanted to kneel down and take out his rosaries or prayer beads and watch the same thing. I raised him up. And to this person, I said, "You don't need to do that." But when he put his arms around, blind, and I thought, you know, and my daddy would live just within about his age. And here I am with a pair of shoes on. I looked down and he wouldn't give me, so I'd have given him his shoes. But to feel that old man so distraught. And then to know, after all of that, never maybe a good meal, no clothes for it to wear. Maybe life had had a lot of burdens that only a man or girl like me would know. Then to be shut off. And darkness where he couldn't see. Something inside him began to gleam. Or God, that poor mortal. A man like I am has a feeling. He loves, eats, drinks, lives. He's a man. And he's in this condition. While praying for him, put arms around him, his old hands ran across his shoulder, patting. I said, "Heavenly Father, if this would make me feel things like that, what does it do to you?" In a few moments, I heard him screaming and going on, he had received his sacrifice. Now, what it is love. Love, my brethren, I realize I'm standing here this morning with a seventh grade decision talking to God. But it won't make any difference of how much theology and of how many ways we turn to scriptures to make it to our point, there will never nothing take the place of love. Where that is one takes a teacher's doctrine, it'll vanish, it'll acknowledge, it'll do the same thing, but love will endure forever. And if we this morning
of Christian people and facing the great crisis that's on the earth today. And in meetings like this, if we could concentrate on one thing, the purpose in our heart that we love the heritage of the Lord Jesus, that we could feel it. The other evening I was speaking in the Tabernacle Church behind the glacier, speaking on love and how we must have the feeling of the people. We must feel for them and love them. Love is the greatest weapon that God ever put into the hands of man. And through that, you can fool people. You think, you know, I was a game warden, conservator. My mother was half Indian, and I love outdoors. And just a little sideline out to life to let you know what I mean when I'm speaking this. Until the burden gets on the Christian church, the lost souls will fight in the air. Let us stop speaking our belief and giving the signs and wonders, God. Certainly, let those put the body, but let's not put that ahead of love and lost souls. Let's put it into a burden on our hearts. The Holy Spirit, Matthew, the Jews, in the first of Jerusalem, He only comes to those who sighed and cried for the abomination that was done in the midst of the city. Now perhaps this morning will take us to this sound. All the glory, all the power, all that God has given to us here at this meeting, the good things that we've seen. How many are laying on their face right now and crying inside for the abominations of Minneapolis? There you are. You only mark those signs. Now, to show how love is projected, this is, you might laugh at this, but it's true as I'm standing here. One time I was out in a field when I was a game warden, and there had been a bull had killed a colored man at the Burt farm just below where I live, great Guernsey bull. And he had been sold away to another man. And he just turned me into the pasture, and I knew that bull was there, but I never saw. I was over on the creek, turning loose some fish, and I thought of a man that called for me to go pray for him. So going up across the hill to pray for the man, being about, well, about 300 or 400 yards from the fence, in a little clump of bushes, this Guernsey bull was bedded down there. And when I got close to him, he raised up. And he was a killer. I looked back to the fence. There was two forces around me to go swimming. There was no tree for me to get into. Well, I thought, this is the end. I can't go farther. For if I try to run, you'll catch me. So what can I do? Now, that's when we come to these crises that when sovereign grace steps in. Then, something happened in my life that I wish it would, if it ever comes again, that it will never leave. And I only wish that there was some way that I had the power this morning to project this to this group of men and women here. And it would never leave you. Like when the maniac took up the organ when he ran through the platform to kill me. Many of you read that book. Something happened there. You've often wondered just how those things happen. There's something in the spirit of describing that man, though he was there to take my life, a divine love set in for him. And he called me to help him take the stick to grass, and thousands of people sitting there, and he shook my face, drew back his fist, and said, I broke every bone in your body. People probably say he was there. But instead of despising the man, something grace came in. In a moment when I needed it, grace stepped in and projected a divine love into my heart where I could protect to him and talk there as friends of man, like a man like I am. But he likes to eat and drink and his family, but the devil has him bound. So the love of God constrained me, and the man humbled himself and fell across my feet. grace stepped in, then love was protected. And in the case of this bull trying to kill me, he got up on his feet, looked at me, and snorted 3 or 4 times and put his horns into the ground. I looked around, there was nothing. And as an officer, I spoke the package down, and I was, why, I didn't have it. I would have killed the bull, and then went and paid for it. But I had no gun. God came to it, but I had no gun. So he wanted to show his divine grace in a crisis hour. And something struck me way better than a gun or any weapon of this world. It was the divine grace that struck my heart. And thinking of that animal wanted to live the same as I wanted to live. And instead of hating him, as he was standing to take my life, I loved him. That sounds juvenile, but it's the truth. And as he rushed towards me, I said, creature of God, I am the servant of God, I'm not a legitimate call to a man who's dying. And our Creator has sent me, and I'm sorry to disturb you on your rest. But in the name of He who created us both, go over and lay down under the tree. And when he got so close to me, within 10 feet, I was the Lord's share of that animal, and I would be my brother here this morning. Some divine love, perfect love, has out all fear. And he stopped. He just looked so betrayed, he looked both ways, turned around, walked over and raised down under that tree, and I walked the 3 feet of his path by through the field safely. And Lord is protected, the divine power of grace of God took the hold. That's what happened to our brother. And he had trusted him. Me and Brother Albert, the Brother Albert Jolliver, and every man, God had the story that he's God. And when his love comes about your great God in the great crisis of even the doctors of the universe, I couldn't help him. Those things in the power of my own, of the gift would work. Brother Albert's gift and healing would work. My gift and vision would work. The doctors could work. Then God and grace stepped in. And down a blessing. One day while mowing my yard, I'd be mowing the front part and cut a few rounds, and I have to get back to the back real quick and change my clothes and go and pray for people, and the front yard is growing up so I can get to the backyard. And one afternoon hot, I pulled off my shirt to stand up a few more rounds while nobody's at the house. Way down in the corner of the fence, I forgot there was a hornet nest down there. And I ran this electric mower into the fence and shut those hornets. Me with no shirt on, and you know what hornets are. And they were all over me just in a second. Very angry. Well, one of them could kill you. Came in the head and popped their head, or somewhere in the temple, it could kill you. And in that crisis, in that moment when I was standing helpless, then God's grace took a hold and something happened. As curious as it may seem, I love those creatures. And they were in their nest. God, in His wisdom, He put them here for some purpose, and they were in their nest, and I disturbed them. They would have come disturbing me, I disturbed them. And I said, little creatures of God, I am the servant of God, and I am trying to pray for His sick children, and I've got to mow my grass, and I disturbed you. And I'm sorry I did this. And I love you. If you mean it, go to work. And if you're a great fool of me, I'm a poor man. You've got
what you're talking about.
That's the rule. I said, little teachers of God, go back into your nest and I want you not to scare you anymore. Come on, where we're going. And as our master meets God at the day of his judgment, and you people, go punish one, two, or three more times, and one took a beeline, and every one of them went right back into the nest in the name of Jesus Christ. Where is that offering love? Dear dying land, that precious blood shall never lose its power. For all the race of church of God be saved to sin no more. Ever since thy faith has called the trees, thy soul wounds the plant, redeeming love has given my team and shall be God. How wonderful he works. How you can do those things. Where some time ago, last year you Christian businessman packed your articles on my mind. I might as well tell it. Christian merchant, Mr. Jordan, is sitting here this morning, was at my house. Showing in nature. God moves in nature. Love conquers everything. And when love is protected, grace comes into trouble. That's real conquering love. Then, sitting on the porch about 10 o'clock one morning, down the lane, came an old possum walking. Many of you have heard the story. There comes a walking man, all the roads are all chewed up, the dogs are jumping, and blowflies all over, and maggots. There have been blowing for so many days. I thought it had rabies. I said to the boy, a young colored girl was reading in a paper and taking her baby and wrapped it up and drowned it in the river. And then when we went out to find out this old mother's possum had nine little bitty naked babies about 1.5 inches long. Now possums don't travel in daytime. They travel at night. So when I seen her in there, I thought she had babies, and we put a rope over it and found out that she was biting and fighting that rope. And I said, looky here. There's really no motherly love in this animal, the possum, than there is in that cobra who's down her baby. That's right. And then, I read that story, instead of a rainbow playing possum, she took that to the house and exhaustion fell over. I thought, you see, she only has just a few minutes to live. But there's such a mother love to her that she'll stand those moments that she's got left so that motherly love can train her to give those moments for those babies. There's no love to the animal or a baby in the world for that ill woman. All day she laid in the sun, no way those prophets making look. Look, summer. That night, Mr. Woods came by and took me out for a while. The rest come back in the 11 o'clock. She's still laying there. So she's gone. Mr. Woods said to me, he said, Grace, why don't you kill her? I said, I can't do this, Woods. She's a mother. Well, I said, them little babies are down a horrible rest. Did you have to punch her to see if there's any life in her? I said, she can't. I don't know how she's chewed up. The legs are all chewed up. So, but she's got to die. And so she's just suffering. So it's only a humane thing to take her life. I said, but Sister Wood, she's a mother. She's tied into those babies. So the babies are going to die hard of it. She'll earn it, pick up a little one. She's a veterinarian. So throw them on the ground, kill them or something, and they'll die quickly. So if you're a hunter, or if you take your gun and shoot them. I said, I'm a hunter, but I'm not a killer. Then the next morning, getting up, my little girl Rebecca sitting here somewhere this morning. She was out on the porch early. And she, I looked at her, I got up, I took the rest for a while through the night, and I know seven conservation, if that an animal life, if that possum would have ever moved, she would have moved when the sun went down. And any other hunter or conservationist knows that. to the moon when the sun went down. But she laid all night and those little possums were still trying to nurse their mother. Betty said to me, my little girl of 8 years old, she said, Daddy, are you going to kill her? I said, no, ma'am. I said, what's she doing up there? She ran in the house of mom. I went over there, I kicked one of those, I said, you all over, just still in there, but I see one of them now free, she's alive. I thought, oh, what can I do? I made Betty go back to the house. I went in the dinner room and sat down. Sitting there, rubbing my forehead. I thought, well, I don't know what to do with this animal. And just then, something said, well, you were talking yesterday about love. And this possum loves her baby so much. I sent her up here to your door. And she's laying here for 24 hours, her turn to be prayed for. I said, Heavenly Father, if the rejecting of a human being for love for her baby, and you put love in that animal which could not, it hasn't got a soul, it has to be guided by the Holy Spirit, up that lane everywhere from the woods and turn into the only place that had a gate or a fence. I said, I'm sorry. And went out there and said, Heavenly Father, if you have directed this dumb animal to be prayed for, and I've been stupid enough or so busy that I never recognized it was you, then I pray, God, that you'll heal the possum. And it's God Almighty who we stand before. My God and God. That person turned over and looked at me, raised up, picked up her baby, stuck it in her pocket, put that tail up in the air, walked right down that road, got up to the gate, and turned around and just said, thank you, sir, and went straight to the woods with her baby. Divine grace takes its place and helps us. And when love fails in the poor girl's heart, and the love of that possum to her baby, divine grace to an animal sent to the place for a prayer of delivery. If divine grace will act that way upon an animal, what would it be to a human being who will consecrate themselves to divine love as the Lord Jesus Christ and is recognizing? Not long ago, I was coming to one conference out of Texas, and we got into a storm, and the plane came down at Memphis, Tennessee. And I went to the Peabody Hotel there to stay all night. And while I was in there, they told me tomorrow morning at 7 o'clock the plane will go. And there will be a car coming to pick you up. I said, all right. The next morning, I got up at 5 books and letters. I thought I went down to the post office in Maryland. I was going down the street. This has been about 8 or 10 years ago when I first met you Pentecostal people. I was going down the street and humming over his song. Jesus, keep me near the cross, there's a precious fountain. And as I went down the street, something said to me, stop. You believe in being led by the Spirit of God? Something said, stop. And I stopped. And I was following just in the post office. And it was the Holy Spirit. I'm so glad today that He's still the Holy Spirit. And as stopping, I got up into a little place. I prayed, I said, Heavenly Father, is that you talking to me? And just as plain as you hear my voice, something said to me, turn and go back to where you come. You ever have something like that to happen to you? Follow the leading then. So, I turned and went back all past the hotel, way down, went over into another place. I thought, my, look at my watch. So I was
time for the pain to leave. And something kept urging you. As you moved on, something kept saying, move on. I moved over. There was the city. Down towards the river, way down. I thought, what am I doing going on here? I didn't know. Many times, you don't have to know. As long as the divine grace is with you. And as I walked on down towards that river, I looked at my watch. Hour had passed. Past the time for the plane to go. But the Holy Spirit said, move on. I kept on moving until I got out amongst the colored folks. Down there, in the lower colored district, that was in the little houses. And as you went down a little hill like, I was walking on there and I looked in over the gate. There was an old typical ancient mama, colored lady. And I was singing that little song that you take out to people saying, I'm so glad I can say I'm one of them. I was going along thinking about it. Beautiful morning. Spring time. My little child, yours to the five tree hills and the honeysuckles and roses were perfuming the valley. Such a beautiful place to be. And they're being led by the Holy Spirit. I looked at this old colored woman when she seen me coming. She began wiping her eyes. She looked again. She wiped her eyes and she started smiling. I thought, what's on her mind? I quit singing. Tell her what's on my eyes. And she said, good morning, Kelsey. I said, good morning, Andy. I said, I want to ask you something. How did you know I was a Protestant? He said, Kelsey, just a minute. He said, did you ever read the story about the kingdom I did? In the Bible? I said, yes, ma'am. He said, I was of that kind of woman. And I said, I pray to the same God, the God of Elijah. And said, I asked him and promised him that he'd give me a child. That I would love it, take care of it, and would dedicate it to him. And she said, the Lord give me a boy. That I've loved him, and I still love him, and that I've dedicated him to the Lord. But this person, I'm sorry, he's gone astray. And he said, 2 days he's been unconscious. And he said, the doctor man is dead, and he said, he'll never wake up no more. And he said, he's been unconscious. Now, I said, when he's dead last night, this common grace, your mother's love. I said, I was sitting on my bed last night, Carson. I said, oh, Lord, you give me the baby of answer the prayer. I turn it back to you according to what I promised you. Now, Lord, he's got rid of the state, got on the wrong company, he's dying with the near living, full trust in his blood. And said, now, Lord, I love a child. That was. And love is perfection, divine grace has gotten set in. He said, I pray, Lord. He said, where am I, baby? You give it to me, but where is your life? He said, oh, Lord, I'm nothing. And she said, I pray for your eyes. He said, this morning, just before the day broke, he said, I dreamed a dream. He said, I've seen a man come walking down the street wearing a right hand suit and a pair of hats. And said, the Lord said, I've seen him. And he said, I've been standing here ever since the right. That's just the way I was there. And love is projected with the right motive behind it. Divine grace has to step in. Not knowing. I said, well, your boy's dying? He said, yes. And I pat her on the back and she was still wet from the morning dew. Had a man's shirt tied around her head. I thought, well, God, this must be it. just led by the Spirit of God. All hope was gone, but love was still there. Love doesn't fear, it waits on grace. And when I walked in that morning with a little old chain running across and a flag point hanging down, walked into the room, I've been in King's palaces, I've been in some of the lovest homes that America has, but I've never felt any more welcome in my life than I did when I walked in that little colored hawk that morning. The first thing that hit me on the wall was not a peanut or some stuff, but was a motto, God bless our home. So love on the floor, the little old arm close to bed, but it was home, and Christ was there. I looked on the floor, the great big fine looking colored boy, about 20 years old, making up that old, say 18, 16. He had his blanket in the hand. He goes, I said, how long have you been doing that? I said, all night, Parson. I said, lady, my name is Brent. Did you ever hear me? She said, no, Mr. Parson, I never did it. I said, my ministry is preaching the gospel and praying for the sick. She said, I've never heard of you, Parson Brent. And I said, I left the hotel. I'm almost 2 hours late now for my plane. But I said, the Holy Spirit told me to come back this way. He got a little shaken over me. And he told me you were coming this way. Grace! Abundance of grace! Friends, I said, well, shall we pray? And he said, I said, what's he saying? Thanks, Mommy. He thinks he's out on a very big dark scene. He's lost. I listened to the news that said, really so dark. It's so dark. It's so dark. Oh, I don't know where I'm going. Oh, I could pull over in the front. And so I said, shall we pray, Anthony? He said, yes, Parson. I said, you lead us in prayer, Anthony. We got a little woman knelt on her knees. She prayed a prayer that would shake the heart of an archangel. As she prayed to God, she said, now, Lord, I don't know what the next move is, but I know you only God. That's it. And when she got to pray, I was just weeping. I felt all the boys weep. He looked like he was dying, he couldn't move. The doctor said, a full thrust, he also runs his hole in his heart, he got a few legs. He gave his children 10, 6, 12, 16, still and everything else in his pocket. He's all gone. So, I said to Heavenly Father, you ask me to pray. I said, I don't understand this. Here I've been lifting my plane, and you have me to walk down this way. And now this is the only thing that seemingly that you're here. Now, Lord, hear the prayer of this poor sinking mother. And while I was praying, I would say, Mama, oh, Mama, what was the greatest decision of all this time? Say, Mama, she raised up, she began smiling, wiping her dirty, fat feet. She said, yes, honey. Well, did you go, Mommy? You said, Mama, they're getting loud in the room. So, Triple John, the great God, has picked him up. Found the team. What was it? I left the place, hurried real quick, went down, got my taxi cab, and went to the plane. They were making their last call in over 2 hours. And to find love left by the Holy Ghost is perfected. Thank you! The love of God and the grace of God brought an airplane out of the sky and set it on the ground and held it there because of a secret colored woman carrying and her love. For that, what are the good will born again through the people? I got out, if you ever went in and emphasize a clean place up this way, just Dr. Mordecai had my friends in here, we know the place. I went up to get a hamburger. I couldn't eat on the train, it's exhausting much. So I went up to get a hamburger, jumped off the train while we were moving to make the chickens that's going to California. And I was going to walk along there, somebody said, "Hello, Pastor Bram!" One fellow told the chap on the "Hi, you person!" I said, "Good morning, sir." Well, I thought maybe you'd give him somebody. He said, "You don't know me, do you?" And I said, "No, I don't believe it either." Did you know that morning that the Lord gave me down to my man? Yes, but I dwell in you. He says, "I not only heal, but now, Pastor Bennett, I saved. And praise the Lord, you heal me." Oh, that mother's prayers and dedication and love when she tried everything, taking to the church and he was baptized. All that she had done, yet just as the man does 7 days, sickness come in, death lay at the door, and divine grace stepped in. That's a crucial moment to those healings through divine love. My brethren, let me say this to you as your fellows, dwelling this morning in the first move of the Lord, in this great divine time, near the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are trying to do this and do that and have this and this denomination work up this and do that. We have come to the end of the road. In this very meeting, all the land, everywhere has been waiting for a great move. We call this that our brother, speakers of spoke and everything else. But still the love of God pressing in our heart, believing that God's going to move in a mysterious way. That's what we're asking into the Lord. It's time for divine grace to set in grace and revolutionize and bring it into a whole type of gospel. Holy Ghost, please. Do you remember my brother? Heavenly Father, look down upon this scene this morning, come to the heart of your love, and may the love be in each other and around the world. Offer your grateful baptized everyone in the presence of the Holy Spirit. Grant it, Lord, and make the Lutheran Baptist Methodist Pentecostal all the great hands of the standard point. Let the other hand stand in the body of God. And may the great presence of the living God march from victory to victory. God's going to be for the people of the people this morning. And let them see your divine plan. And may the grace of God be shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. And Christ's name we have this.